If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we are talking about changes.
Turn and face the strange
changes. Yes, and we're going to do it all in the form of a musical.
No, we're not.
No, sadly we're not. I know, right? It would be awesome.
I know. I'm Emily.
I'm Jace. And on this episode, we are talking about change in relationships and life changes. And we're going to go over a lot of different scenarios that can be stressful changes in your life and in your relationships. Some even good changes can be stressful at the same time. And then we're also going to talk about some tips on how to make change a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Dedeker is on a plane as we record.
Right.
I mean, not unfortunately. Nice for her, but...
I mean, nice for her, but it's unfortunate that she's not here with us.
Yes.
Yes.
And that we are missing her so much, so...
So much.
Safe travels, Dedeker.
And we only have two-part harmony in our musical.
Exactly.
Instead of three-part harmony.
Exactly.
Which we could have had
what
if
the
she
hell?
Was here. I know.
Yeah.
All right. So Emily, talk to me about change. What are we talking about here? Like, what's bringing this up?
That's a good question. I mean, I think you and I have both, like, been through a lot of change in the last couple years. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
A huge
yeah.
amount, like, from, you know, the two of us separating and, like, well, initially, even before that, like, turning to polyamory and being polyamorous to begin with, like... That's a huge change.
Sure, yeah, even before that. So yeah, maybe over the last 4 years has been,
yeah.
been a lot of change.
God,
yeah,
you're right, yeah.
Right, sure, changing from being monogamous to being
mm-hmm.
polyamorous. Yeah, and then with us no longer being in a romantic relationship,
yeah.
that was a big change. And then we've also had changes in our other relationships and in our jobs.
For
and,
sure.
You know, families, like all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's sort of the universal thing here is that change is universal. Change
yeah.
is, you know, life is change. That, you know, the only thing that's constant in life is change.
Yes.
And so that's why this is an important topic to talk about, because it does happen all the time.
Yeah. Life is ever changing.
So let's go over some kind of examples and maybe share some of our experiences or you know, ways that these can affect your life and your relationships.
Yeah. So the first one is going to be the loss of a job or even acquiring a job.
Right.
Or multiple in my case.
Well, sure, of having like five jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I currently have four jobs, three regular restaurant jobs. And this all like kind of happened since, I think, November of this year. And, or of last year. And so, yeah, I mean, that has changed my life hugely just because of the lack of time that I have at any given point.
Sure. Right. So like when you look online for stuff about dealing with change in
mm-hmm.
your life, a lot of times it's either about change that you're doing intentionally, like trying to change a habit or change your lifestyle, or it's about dealing with some sort of negative change, right?
Yeah.
Like dealing with a breakup or a divorce or a death. And, you know, one of the things we wanted to point out is that when it comes to stressful change, it can also be positive things. It
mm-hmm.
could also be acquiring a job because it's going to change what your routine is like. It's going to change how much free time you have.
Yeah.
And so if we're thinking about this from the point of view of dating or having relationships or having multiple relationships, which can be a lot more demanding of your time, acquiring a new job could be really exciting, but also all of a sudden that other partner who only works evenings and now you work daytimes,
yeah,
that's going to be a lot more challenging for you to see each other.
For sure.
Yeah, that these are all Big changes. I mean, another one is the example of moving to a new city or even a new country. And I don't mean moving separately. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But moving together. Twice now have moved with a partner.
Hmm.
This is back when I was monogamous, but I moved to, well, moved short-term to Russia with a partner and
crazy.
Then moved from there to Seattle with a partner,
yeah.
That same partner. And then years later, moved to Los Angeles with a partner.
Yeah.
And yeah, like those things are huge stressors on your relationship.
Oh, for sure.
Because you're in a new place, you don't have the same... you know, you don't have the same routines, you don't have the same friends, like you're reestablishing all of that. And it can be, you know, as I experienced, very stressful
slash
on
yeah.
that relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like causing it to end potentially.
Right. It can. Yeah.
Yeah, it can. It doesn't have to, but,
definitely.
I know. Yeah. And that thing that you looked up, you said moving or changing cities can be just one of the most stressful things on a relationship or on a person, period.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's up there in terms of the amount of stress that can cause in your life. Yeah. I mean, another one that we have here is a death,
mm-hmm.
which, like I said, when you look up, you know, ways to cope with change or cope with stressful situations, like this is one of the number one things that
yeah.
will come up is about coping with a death. Or the loss of somebody. And the thing, too, is in relationships, this could be, your partner losing someone as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
And then to complicate it even further, it could be that you have multiple partners and one of them has a death in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that can then trickle down and become maybe a source of stress in another relationship of yours.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Or, you know, maybe one of your partners has another partner who has something like that happen in their family, and
yeah.
it might make them have less time for you, or they might be more emotionally drained by dealing with that.
Exactly.
That they don't have the same emotional patience that you're used to them having for you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Things like that.
No, for sure.
Yeah. But then, like, the one that we want to talk about a few of these, though, that are a little more specific to polyamory, or at least to dating in general. And the first of these is one that, as you who listen to the show know that I'm very familiar with, is changing from a close proximity relationship, meaning you live in the same city, to a long-distance relationship. As you know, about 10 months ago, Dedeker started traveling and has been doing that for 10 months now, where... You know, not only is it long distance, but it's also across the world. It's not just like a 5-hour drive. It's not, you know, it's a little more involved to be able to see each other.
Yeah.
And that's something that, especially when that first started, and I've been thinking about this because I met a friend recently in Japan who just moved away from Japan after being there for a while and is now doing a long distance relationship with her partner from there. We've been talking about how hard that is. And what's interesting for me is that it reminded me, well, you know, just of how hard that is for one, but it also did help me to see how that has gotten better for me.
Yeah.
That I remember, I mean, Emily remembers this very well.
Oh, for sure.
When Dedeker was first leaving, I was a mess. Like, it was awful. I was incredibly sad about it. And that over time now, it's not so upsetting. Like, I'm still sad to not be around her.
Of course.
But it's not something that's, like, dominating my thoughts in terms
constantly.
Of being upset or being sad about that.
Of course.
And it's something that, you know, in talking with my friend, have been trying to say, hey, you know, if you stick with it, like, it does get a little bit easier, I promise.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it right now. But you do kind of get used to change. And that's sort of a theme of some of the things that we're going to be talking about today, is this idea that we all adapt all the time, that we're always changing, and that one of the tricks that we'll get into more later with change is accepting that change is part of life and not trying to hold on to the past or wanting things to go back to the way that they were or thinking they always have to stay the same.
Yeah.
But I've found that the more I was able to accept the fact that our relationship is long distance and getting to appreciate the things that come with that, the excitement of getting to see each other you know, even though it's more rare, yeah. the fact that it's like we'll get to see each other for a longer amount of time or a more intense amount of time or something.
Well, plus you get to like go to different countries when you see
her. Yeah, then in my case,
super awesome.
Yeah, when I go to see her, like I get to go to another country like yeah. Japan. And but then, you know, and also I get to hear about her adventures in other countries mm-hmm. and, you know, that there's just sort of focusing on what is
yeah.
rather than what I might wish it was or what I thought it was going to be or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Emily, why don't you take the next one here?
It's sure.
kind of in a similar vein of a relationship change.
Yeah, I mean, changes in existing relationships will sometimes happen. Like in the example of Jason and I, when we decided to become polyamorous, the mm-hmm. change from monogamous to polyamorous,
right.
Gosh, that was a really big change, one that we had to think a lot about and, you know, do a lot of, like, self-realization and self-work and stuff mm-hmm. In moving through that. And then, you know, in the same way, like, a monopoly relationship to a poly-poly relationship, like, we
yeah,
have friends...
Right, where one partner was polyamorous and the
one was monogamous, and
right.
then, yeah, the monogamous partner decides, like, hey, I want to try this out, like, I actually do think that there's some value to it, and I've seen you do it for a while, and I want to explore that.
Right.
Even for the polyamorous partner, if they've had a lot of time to be polyamorous and, like, can conceptually accept that,
right.
even, like, that change can sometimes be very jarring and very difficult, potentially, like, and a lot of feelings can come up from mm-hmm. that, even ones of jealousy or, you know, not rational thoughts or whatever, just because it is a you know change in the relationship that you once had.
Right. That even if you're poly and have been poly a long time,
mm-hmm.
when your monogamous partner switches to being poly, that can be hard and you'll be like, you know, and we've seen this with multiple friends of ours in that situation. It's like, gosh, like that's why is this so hard? Like
yeah,
this is,
it's like this doesn't make sense.
This is something
like,
I'm
rationally.
Familiar with, and it's because it's a change.
Yeah.
It's because of that. You know, change is difficult. Like, we want to think that we always know what to expect. And so when we enter these times where things are changing and we don't feel as much like we know what to expect from the future, that does get... it's scarier. It's a lot harder.
And I think you can like, have a sense of, like, preciousness to relationships sometimes. You're like, well, I know this is a known quantity. I, like, know what this is going to be. Mm-hmm. It matters to me very much. And, like... I understand the box that I put it in. And then when that box is kind of taken away, which often, you know, so often happens in polyamory in general,
right.
then that can be like a really jarring experience.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not you're polyamorous with other people and they have partners, mm-hmm. if you're with a monogamous person and they have never done that before, it can definitely be scary.
Right. And, and so again, in talking about the kind of accepting the change, like mm-hmm. we were saying, when we first transitioned from being monogamous to polyamorous, it was very difficult.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't always know how it's going to be difficult in advance. It's like things will come up or you just sort of feel the sense of discomfort because of the change. But then that it does also get better with time.
Yeah, and the positive changes that come and those surprise you as well.
Sure.
When you're
like,
wait a minute, shit, like this thing now actually turns me on, or like I'm really excited by the prospect of my partner dating someone else, and like mm-hmm. I'm really happy for them and that I get to see them be excited about someone, like that brings me joy. And that change can also be, it can be really positive, but also like surprising.
Right. Yeah. And so that's another one, just mm-hmm. like in talking to my friend about transitioning into a long distance relationship, where I kind of have to be like, I know you might not believe it right now, and this might not be the most comforting thing right now, but it does get better.
Mm-hmm.
Like it does
mm-hmm.
get less painful. You get used to it, and you also learn to find the good things in it.
Yeah.
The same thing in when people transition from monogamy to polyamory, one of the kind of jokes in the poly community is that you spend more time talking about being poly than actually being poly.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And I definitely think that for most people, ourselves included, that was true.
Yeah, at least in the beginning.
For the first
six months to a year, you're right.
Yeah,
well,
but it does start to,
yeah,
like, as you have all those conversations, which are incredibly important to do, you start to need them less and you start to get more used to this.
Yeah.
And that conversation is kind of a way of coping with that change
for
in a
sure.
way of like kind
are
of
we all on the same page
footing.
Here? Yeah, yeah, like I know, and I mean communication. Like we'll talk about this more. Obviously, the thing that we talk about across the board in all of our podcasts is communication, communication, communication.
Yeah, definitely.
And, yeah, especially when these changes are happening. Like for me, if I have a change in my life with my partner or partners, then mm-hmm. to be on the same page and to kind of like figure out where they're at is incredibly important to me, at least.
Yeah. And I think another big part of this and is the idea of communicating about things and talking about things, getting support,
mm-hmm.
not only from your partner, but also from other people.
Yeah.
Because understanding that other people either have gone through or are going through the same things that you are
mm-hmm.
is really helpful.
Yeah.
Because one of the things in change is you feel like everything's falling out from under you.
Sure.
And that you're alone.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if, you know, like when we were transitioning from monogamy to polyamory, our experiences were not the same.
No.
And so we would talk to each other a lot, but it wasn't until later when we had a little more of a community
yeah.
and more like other people that we could talk to about it that
yeah.
I think we both had sort of a stronger foundation.
Sure, yeah. The community is really important.
Yeah, exactly. Just understanding that you're not alone.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
other people feel the same things that you do or have dealt with those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The next one that I can't specifically speak about as well, and I don't know if you can either, Jace, but monogamous to swinging. You know, we've had Cooper S. Beckett on the show and mm-hmm. various people who are swingers. Yeah.
Yeah. I would recommend, you know, for that one, checking out his book, My Life on the Swing Set, which is, you know, a book put together from a bunch of his blog posts
yeah.
over the course of many years from he and his wife first kind of trying swinging to ending up being more polyamorous.
Yeah.
And the sort of the whole spectrum there. But yeah, a lot of the same stuff of like needing a lot of conversation, like understanding there's going to be surprises.
Yes.
Finding a community of people to not only to help you, you know, understand that you're not alone, but also to help you out with some tips and things that maybe you could learn on your own.
Sure.
But will be less painful if you learn them from someone else.
Meaning, like, if you go to a swingers party and just to have, like, a guideline?
Yeah,
or what
to,
is it?
Yeah, I guess,
exactly?
like, to, yeah. to kind of get advice from people who've done it before.
Sure,
instead
sure.
of just feeling like you've
jumping
got it all figured out.
Being
I
like,
mean, the same
eh.
with polyamory, like,
yeah.
listening to a podcast before you do it. Or,
like this one.
Yeah. or, you know, reading books and you know, there's only so much you can learn. Not, you know, you've got to actually do something to really learn about it. But
yeah.
One of my favorite sort of wise sayings or whatever is that, you know, everyone talks about the importance of learning from your mistakes.
Mm.
And the saying that I like goes, yes, but any fool can learn from his mistakes, but a wise man learns from the mistakes of others.
Hmm.
So that kind of, that's why we try on this show to share with you some things that we're like, yeah, we wish we'd known this because
yeah.
it would have saved
you
us
wise
some,
men and women out
trouble.
There.
Yes.
Yeah, can learn from
Let
our
you
mistakes.
Be wiser than us.
Exactly.
Yeah. yeah.
We'll make all the mistakes over here and then you can do all the learning.
No, I'm sure we'll leave plenty for you to make for yourself.
And that's true.
but yeah, anyway, so with swinging, same thing.
It's yeah.
kind of, you know, reading about that, understanding what some of the mistakes are.
Yeah.
I,
do your
you know,
research.
I really like the book for polyamory. I really like the book The Game Changer
mm-hmm.
by Franklin Vo because it talks about a lot of mistakes and a lot of difficulties in the form of a memoir. Kind
yeah.
of like Cooper S. Beckett's My Life on the Swing Set.
Yeah.
It's not like an instruction book. It's more, hey, here's what happened with me and the things that I learned from it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
to
even,
me, is where both those books were really helpful and informative.
Yeah. I mean, Cooper, well, let's see, Cooper's novel that he did most recently. Mm. I learned mm-hmm. a lot from that because it was cool, and it was a different
a life less monogamous.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was something that I like a relationship structure that I wasn't currently in or that mm-hmm. I didn't really know a lot about. And even though it was in a novel form, I was
right.
like, wow, this is incredibly
story,
informative. Yeah.
Based on his personal experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
was super, super cool.
Definitely.
And
then the last one that we
yeah.
want to cover here is the loss of a major relationship for you or a partner.
Mm-hmm.
So this, you know, we all understand that dealing with breakups can be hard. But in polyamory, there's an added level of difficulty where if you have a major breakup, you're still with your other partners. That
yeah.
you don't quite have that same, I don't know if you'd call it a luxury, of getting to kind of retreat into yourself and just sort of throw a pity party for a while. Or maybe it's good that it kind of forces us not to go there and to try to stay present with our other partners. But it also, you know, if you have a partner who gets out of a serious relationship, there's going to be a lot of changes. One of those might be that they suddenly have a bunch more free time that they want you to help fill. Same if you have the breakup. You might want your partners to spend a bunch more time with you, and they might already be busy, or you know, you might be like, I can't see you this much, or I want to support you, and then you end up stressing yourself out. Like, that's something to really be aware of. And, you know, and then also that it could make someone a lot more sensitive or a lot more afraid of certain things. I've definitely found that that's something that's happened in my relationships when partners or myself have had major relationships end, that will be more sensitive to certain things that had to do with that old relationship. That weren't a problem before in ours, but then kind of become this issue because you have this fear around
it. You're taking
there's
emotional baggage from the old relationships and putting it into the new one.
Exactly.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
REI Co-op has everything for camping, glamping, scampering, and whatever they're doing.
Cannonball!
Relaxing, axing, waxing.
I'm sorry, what?
REI waxes your skis, man.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay.
Biking, hiking, and whatever outdoor thing rhymes with hiking. You get it. REI Co-op is the place for gear, clothing, classes, and advice. For the million and one ways to opt outside.
Listen closely. As a master painter carefully brushes Benjamin Moore Regal Select down the seam of the wall. It's like poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
All right, so something that we were kind of dancing around earlier, let's get to it now, is that even a change in a relationship that's not necessarily a loss, so like my example of a relationship changing to become long distance. That
you're not losing your
relationship. It's just changing. But this is still, there's still a sense of loss and there's still a sense of grieving and mourning that goes along with that. And so, you know, one of the things that's really important is to allow yourself to grieve. Is to understand that, like, that it's okay to be sad about a change, even if, you know, your logical mind is like, nothing bad is happening. Like, you can't be upset about this. Like, if, to accept, like, change is an emotional thing.
Not all emotions are rational.
Yes, that's also a recurring theme.
Indeed, of all of us, for sure. Okay, so in addition, if something's happening where your partner, for example, is having a lot of new relationship energy and you feel as though, you know, this is a big change, you feel as though they are not spending enough time with you, or that it's the quality of time that they're spending with you is not as good as it once was. I urge you to give your partners the benefit of the doubt. A change may be affecting them as well. And then, I mean, they, you need to be understanding of their feelings, understanding that, you know, they may be really excited about something. Again, like, that may not always be there. You can gently nudge them in the direction of, like, hey, I want more quality time with us, or I want to be able to, you know, feel, I don't know, just like we're spending good amounts of time together or whatever.
Right. Like, we talk a lot about the idea of quality over quantity.
For sure.
That you might think, like, well, they're spending less time with me if they're dating other people.
Or, like, are they going to, you know, that, a fear that they're going to love you less or something because all this new relationship energy is coming up.
But, you know, focusing on the time that you do spend together, having it be really quality time.
Exactly.
And not just more time.
Yeah. Like, I mean, love is not a quantitative thing.
Sure.
Exactly.
That's something I've definitely found is helpful with that. But also, mm-hmm. like you're saying, give your partner the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And this is true, too, for, say, the two of you move somewhere.
Sure.
You might feel like this move is really difficult for you, and it barely affects your partner at all.
Yeah.
It probably is affecting them more than you think it is.
Yeah.
And also maybe more than they even think it is, if, mm-hmm. if they feel very strong about it. You know, this is something that... you know, with saying goodbye to Dedeker just recently when I was coming back from spending a month with her in Japan, you know, it was really hard, and it felt like I was really upset about it and it didn't affect her as much.
Mm.
And in talking about it more, started to really understand how much it did affect her.
Yeah.
And we just have different ways of showing it.
For
sure. That idea of giving your partner the benefit of the doubt that, that, you know, they're also going through stuff too.
Yeah.
That you're not alone.
I Absolutely.
Guess I'll go back to that theme. And then also that we always aren't aware of the way that that change is affecting us.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, that, you know, maybe I'll be more, you know, change could be happening in my life, like a new job or a loss of a job. And I might change in the way that I behave with my partners and not even know it.
Yeah.
Right. Or with my friends or whoever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is something that comes up, jealousy, which we've talked about a lot in different ways. But yeah, I mean, especially if you're going from a mono to a poly relationship, jealousy can come up. And that, you know, jealousy, you can accept your own jealousy and your own feelings. Mm-hmm. And again, that they're not always going to be rational. But in addition, don't necessarily blame your partner for your emotions. Like, jealousy isn't rational. Jealousy isn't going to be their fault for your feelings of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, like, you know, try to figure out, like, am I feeling, I don't know, inadequate in some way? Again, am I feeling like my time is going to be taken away with this partner because they're all of a sudden spending time with more people? Like, what is it that I'm afraid of? And try to address those things.
Right.
Yeah.
Something that we've talked about, that we talked about on our five ways to suck less at communication episode, mm-hmm. About nonviolent communication.
Yes. Very important.
Yes. Well, one of the things in there is sort of separating out what's happening from the effects of it.
Yeah.
And so, like, something that's really common, like, both in positive and negative, is this expression of, you make me happy, or you make me feel good, or you make me jealous, or you make me feel insecure. And it's, if you listen to the language, it's, you are making me feel
do
something.
This. Yeah, regardless of whether it's negative or positive.
Right. And the truth of it is that something might be happening, or someone may be doing something, but your feelings are your own.
Yes.
They're coming from yourself. That's not to say that, you know, we're Vulcans who have control over all of our emotions, or, you know, should strive to not feel them or something. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
But just to understand that they're coming from within. They're coming from the combination of your past experiences and your beliefs and, you know, all of this. And that it's not someone else or some event making you feel that, but that you are just feeling it.
Yeah.
So in nonviolent communication, the idea is to say,
I am,
you know,
feeling,
you know, this is the situation that happened.
Yeah.
And this is how I feel. It's kind of an and statement rather than a because of statement.
And you're kind of like placing the feeling away from your partner. You're not, like, pushing the situation on them and saying, like,
you're not making
you made
it their
me
fault.
Do this, you are that.
Yeah.
Rather, like, this situation has made me feel this way, and my feelings and my reaction to them are my own entirely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that isn't to say that it's not, you know, that the solution might not be connected to something that they're doing or something that they're going to do or, you know, something they can do to help, but there's something really important about separating out those things, of kind of taking ownership of your own jealousy and your own feelings, not saying, like, well, because they're my own feelings, you don't have to do anything to help me.
Sure.
But you know, taking responsibility for them.
Yeah.
And also taking responsibility for trying to make them better and trying to improve them, and not just saying, like, well, my partner needs to figure that out.
Yeah. I mean, you're not always going to be right. Like,
right.
Yeah,
sure.
You can have feelings and they're not necessarily going, I mean, your feelings are your own and, like, they're valid, but
Yeah,
you can also like sort of piece apart like the reasoning behind them and then sort of move forward from them. And that's not going to necessarily be your partner's problem or their fault.
Yeah. Something that I want to share that Dedeker and I talked about that she was reading in an article recently. I don't remember what the article was, but if she remembers, I'll see if we can put it in the notes for this.
Lovely.
But it was talking about sulking, like in relationship when you're not getting what you want and you sulk and you pout about it.
Huh.
Because of whatever it is, your partner's not spending enough time with you, or they're not having enough sex with you, or they're, you know, not whatever. And basically, this author was saying that they believe that this comes from our first experience of love in our lives, which is from our parents when we're babies.
Yeah.
And as a baby, you're unhappy about something, or you're uncomfortable, and so you whine or you cry. And your parents, because they're your parents, just start trying things.
Yeah.
And they basically, early in life, they know what you need better than you do.
Huh.
And so they're constantly just guessing and trying to figure out what it is that you want and just kind of always doing all of the solving for you because you don't have the capability to ask for what you need. Or maybe you don't even understand yet that, like, oh, I'm upset because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't even understand that yet as a baby.
Jeez, yeah.
And so that we carry that forward into our lives, and that if we don't feel like we're getting what we want from our partners, there's this part of us that wants to be loved in that way that we were as babies, where our partners try to find the solution for us.
Mm.
That they would just sort of endlessly dote on us and try different things and try to figure out what's going to make us feel better.
That's really interesting.
And that it's an important thing to be aware of, both in terms of yourself, that, you know, the importance of realizing that they're not your parents,
no.
That love is different as an adult, and that you need to be clearer about what it is that you want.
Yeah, and take responsibility
for it.
And
take responsibility for it, and also don't feel like there's something wrong with them because they're not figuring out how to solve your problems.
Yes.
And then on the other side of it, too, is using this knowledge as a way to be a little more forgiving of your partner when they are sulking like that, and understanding that it is that childlike part of themselves. It's not this adult manipulative thing necessarily,
but it's
necessarily,
like,
but it's
I want love.
It's a deep thing that they want love. They want to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And to kind of be forgiving of that.
Yeah.
I am human and I need to be loved.
What the fuck is that song?
Just like everybody else does.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah. Told you it was going to be a musical episode.
Yeah, apparently it is, for sure. That was beautiful singing, Jess.
Thank you.
The last thing I just wanted to say, this is a little quote from Franklin Vo in his book, The Game Changer. And I really love this quote. He says that, like I said, it takes courage. Letting go of the idea that the way things are now is the way they should always be is gutsy, but then life rewards courage. And I mean, heck yes, because, you know, polyamory, like, I was scared to death of it for a while, like a good 6 months. But I think it has been one of the more profound things in my life. And it did take a lot of courage from myself, and it took a lot of courage from Jace, you know, knowing that, like, this was going to be very difficult for me. But we sort of persevered and, like, continued to move on and keep going with it. And I think especially for him, too, I mean, this is, like, very much you are unapologetically poly, like you like to say, and
right.
And it has changed our life, I think, for the better, in a very profound and huge way. So that's a really good thing, and change can really be for the better.
Yeah.
So
I hope that for those of you out there, that whether or not you are poly yourselves, that it as a thing that exists and that we talk about on this show can be something that improves your life as well.
Yes.
And if it is, to wrap this up here, something that would help our show a ton is to write us a review. Go on iTunes or on Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
And if we have helped you, write us a review about that. It helps us show up higher in search results. It helps new people find the show. And it also makes us feel amazing, and it's what motivates us to keep doing this.
Yeah.
Also, if you guys want to support us on Patreon, that's also hugely helpful. Both of those things are honestly like the two biggest things that you could possibly do to help us keep doing this show.
Yes.
Really. We love it so much.
Yes, we
please
do.
Send us your questions and your thoughts to info@multiamory.com. You can also tweet at us @multiamory or find us on Facebook, Multiamory. And we love hearing from you guys, and sometimes it might take us a few weeks to get back to you, but we respond to every email that
yes.
we get personally. So thank you guys so much for writing in, and we love you, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.